I'd like to begin in prayer, just calling out and crying out to the Lord in regard to the needs of a couple of folks in our church. And as I identify these individuals, these are some actually that most of you've never met, except for one person in the family, or a couple of people in the family. But I feel it's important for us to just call out to the Lord for these today as a body in Christ. Everyone, most of you probably have had opportunity to meet Jackie Fellstrom. And over these last couple of weeks, we've gotten a little more familiar with her husband, but he's not been able to attend church yet, and it doesn't look like he ever will. I received a call from her this morning. The last two or three days have been very, very difficult for him. Evidence of further decline. And this morning I received a call from her that she had heard from the hospital asking her to come. And that there had been a pretty drastic change for him. So I want for us to pray for Jackie, but of course also for her husband, Nick, who knows the Lord. For that we are grateful. Who, just about the only thing he said to me as we visited yesterday was, as I prayed for him and as I read scripture, he just said, thank you. But he may not even be able to do that right now. And since that early hour, we don't know. So we want to pray just for them as they move through this time of his likely passing to be with Jesus. Also, I received from Cy in a conversation this morning, her uncle's great-granddaughter is very sick. And I don't know what the particular condition is, but she's very, very sick. And so we want to lift up, can you give me her name?
Gabby.
Gabby. All right, thank you. And so let's pray particularly for these this morning as we move into this time with God's word. Our Father, we come to these moments because of your grace and your mercy in our lives. And we come with gladness in our hearts that we have a God who is eager for us to come and to approach the throne of grace and mercy. Today, O Lord, we pray, calling out these two, knowing that in every one of our lives, we might be able to come up with a list that would be too long for our context. But Lord, may we never, ever cease to pray. But today, O God, we pray for Nick and his dear wife, Jackie, whom we've gotten to know and love and have seen her faith in you. And Lord, today we pray for Nick and we hold him up before you, Lord, knowing that, oh God, you are faithful, and that you have loved each one of us, and you've demonstrated that love through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we come with gladness that Nick has put his trust and his faith in Jesus Christ. And today, oh Father, we come, and as we know that his body is failing and very likely has come to a time of end, Lord, we hold him up before you and ask that you will give him the grace to move through these hours, these moments, these minutes. And Father, for Jackie as well, to give her a peace and a comfort and a confidence in you of your sustaining power. Lord, thank you for your demonstrated love for Nick and for the promise we have that when he breathes his last breath, he'll be received into the glorious presence of you, our Savior, in paradise. Lord, we love you and we give thanks for that hope and that confidence for everyone who dies in the Lord, that you find it indeed precious and that you find it a sweet time. Lord, may it be for Jackie a time of gladness for the release from suffering, even while there will be grief and sorrow in the days to come. Lord, give blessing to them today. And Lord, we pray for this little one less than a year old named Gabby. And we ask, dear Father, that even as you are very aware of the needs of her life, that you will give the grace for healing and strength and recovery, that her thriving will return, and that she will be able to live a long and joyful life as a sweet blessing to her family. Lord, we pray for these that are around her, and we ask that you'll give them a peace and an ability to rest and trust in you during what seems to be a very difficult time. Lord, we hold Gabby up to you in Jesus' name. And so, Father, as we think of others and we know we're concerned for those who are struggling emotionally and mentally and physically, of course, and indeed those who are struggling with spiritual battles, oh God, we come to you and we yield ourselves to you and ask that you will be magnified in every life and that we might trust in you with whole hearts. We give thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite you today to turn for the very beginning of our message to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. As you remember, this is part of a series. In fact, there are only two more messages in this series that I will be bringing. But from Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we find there the things that the early church were a part of, and in that we remember that they devoted themselves to some things. Let me just read that verse as we get rolling here. But in Acts 2:42, it tells us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And if you'll remember, in regard to that, we considered that they devoted themselves to the Word of God, for that was the whole of what the apostles' teaching was, and of course their experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, who we also understand to be the Word of God. And they said to the apostles' teaching, and then last week we spoke to the question that they devoted themselves to fellowship, to sharing life with one another, to living life together. And I'll tell you that I have recognized some places in my life and my relationships with people in our church and perhaps even with others that I need to repent of not living life very well together with some. And that is one of those areas that we would be devoted to the fellowship. And then the next thing that is spoken there is to the breaking of bread. And the final thing is to prayer. Now, we're skipping over the breaking of bread. Most of you will understand very quickly why. Because on the first Sunday of every month, we observe the Lord's Supper. And so I'm holding that message for next Sunday, which is the first Sunday of February. And we will spend that time talking about being devoted to the breaking of bread. And there are several contexts that the New Testament gives us for the breaking of bread, not only which revolves around the Lord's Supper, but we're going to save that message for Lord's Supper Sunday. So today, we're going to be looking at this idea of our being devoted to prayer. Being devoted to prayer. And the title of my message is, Our Devotion is to Dependence Upon God. And then the subtitles are Communion with God and Prayer. Our devotion is to dependence upon God. So let's take a moment and set the stage. Psalm 127, I want to read verses 1 and 2 from there. And there it says, Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. In vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food. And yes, he gives sleep to the one he loves. Now, just a very brief time in Psalm 127, but I want us to recognize from those verses that This reminds us that, and I want you just to remember these three words, unless the Lord. Unless the Lord. It goes on, that verse, of course, says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. There is nothing useful unless the Lord. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. There is no safety or protection or anything else unless the Lord is our watchman. We see the value of these roles in our communities, and we cherish that. We are grateful for it. But unless the Lord provides protection, unless the Lord is our guide and our guard, then all else is in vain. And unless the Lord gives sleep, all other effort is in vain. I want us to remember that as we move into this time of this message, because unless the Lord, and that's one of those words, that one of those phrases that you might want to just apply to your life as you begin to prepare your next meal. Unless the Lord, there's nothing here for me. Unless the Lord, as you get ready to pay your bills, unless the Lord is my provider, I have nothing. I can do nothing. In the life of the body of Christ, as we move through and as we do things together, we need to remember that phrase, unless the Lord is in front of us, unless the Lord leads us, unless the Lord empowers us, then all that we do, no matter what we do, is it okay to say it's useless? That's the truth. Unless the Lord. And so I want us to remember this as we move into this time of this message. Unless the Lord. And then in Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12, which we appreciate so much having that read for us by Joy. But this whole passage gives us a context of being established in the ways and in the instruction of the Lord. It gives us this context of how we need to live. And what is that context? We need to live with the teaching and the keeping of commands. We need to recognize that it's valuable for us to look at the commands. Let me just remind you that you don't understand what sin is and how you are guilty of sin unless you understand the law of God, particularly what is in the commands of God, the Ten Commands, that we perhaps need to spend some time memorizing. How many of you could name all 10 of the Ten Commandments? All right, some of you would find that quite easy, but some of you would say, you know, I could get a couple of them. You know, I know which ones I'm most guilty of. I'm there. I can get you that one. But, you know, we need to know the law of God and the commands of God. And that will help us as we communicate with others and teach them about the love of God and the grace of God and the forgiveness of God along the way. But we have this context of being established in the ways and in the instruction of the Lord. And this verses 1 through 4, I won't read them again, but verses 1 through 4 remind us that we need to be careful to give attention to the teaching and the keeping of the commands of the Lord. And the result of that will be that we will be held in high regard, both from God and with our fellow man, with people around us. We will be held in high regard if we give attention to the teaching and the keeping of those commands. Verses 5 through 8, many of us as children memorize verses 5 and 6 that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and He will make your path straight. Many of us memorize those verses, but if we trust in the Lord, then we will come to a place and there will be the result of clear direction in our lives. There will be the result of repentance from evil, leaving behind those things that are an offense to our God who loves us and whom we are given the command to love and to obey and to honor and to glorify and to exalt. And it also will result in as we trust in the Lord, resulting in healing for the body and strength in the bones. We think about that. How many of you today need a little more strength in your bones? I've got my moments. And I know some of you have your constancy. And we pray and lift one another up in regard to those things. But trusting in the Lord brings that result of healing for the body and strength in the bones. For it is He who is our provider, our giver, our healer, our one who gives us strength. And then verses 9 and 10 there in Proverbs chapter 3 speak to us about honoring the Lord. But specifically, it's telling us that we need to honor the Lord with our possessions, and we need to honor the Lord with His provision and blessing in our lives. There is nothing that you have today. I know you work hard and you paid your money for what you've bought. But there is nothing that you have today that has not come from the hand of the Lord. It is a gift of God that you are able to work. It is a gift of God that others have valued you and your time and have given you payment. It is a gift of God for His provision in your life. And if you're at a place where you're no longer able to work, it is the gift of God that you have every provision that you have, whether it be through the assistance of our society or whether it be through the retirement benefit. The retirement that you have prepared for. You see, it is all still a gift of God. Nothing that you have or receive comes just because you're such a good worker. Now, if you work hard, if you honor your fellow man and all of those things, I think you're going to find the blessing that goes along with that. The scripture will even give affirmation to that. But we need to see at the end, as it says at the end of this chapter, that if we will honor the Lord with our possessions and with the first produce of our entire harvest. Verse 10 says, your barns will be completely filled. Your vats will overflow with new wine. You see, you will be lacking nothing. That's really what that says. I'm not a farmer. I love watching farm life. I actually, as a young man, wanted to do some farm work. Just never lived in the context where it worked. You'd think I lived in the Palouse and that would be a great place to work in a farm. But my schedule and my life just didn't allow for that, didn't provide for that. But I lived on a farm and I watched the farmer every year as he went out and plowed the fields and planted, and then the harvest came later. And I loved the process of that. You see, even though we may not be farmers, whatever it is that we apply our hand to, whatever it is that we apply our mind to, that is what we give to the Lord, how the Lord brings blessing and provision, and it is indeed a blessing from His hand. And so we are honoring the Lord as we receive from the Lord even discipline, knowing His loving kindness. We won't spend a lot of time there, but I think that's so valuable for us to revisit from time to time. For in verse 11, as it says, do not despise the Lord's instruction, and do not loathe His discipline. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves. For just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. And we find that repeated in the New Testament in a variety of places. But God loves us, therefore He disciplines us. He instructs us, He teaches us, He corrects us. And we receive that knowing that He delights in us. He loves you, that's why. Sometimes you receive correction from the hand of the Lord. So these two portions from Psalms and Proverbs give us a context as we move forward. And then I want us to move, therefore, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Because in this passage, I think we find such important instruction and teaching about the relationship that we must have with our Father, with the Son of God, with the Savior. You see, because there we're going to be reminded that we are completely dependent upon Him. Okay? And there's where the message comes from, the title. Our devotion is to being dependent upon God. And so we want to be reminded in this time that we are completely dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read these verses from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Then I'm going to look at another passage that will help us to illustrate that. And you may want to have your Bibles or your devices ready to open them. In fact, if you want to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 9, we're going to read from that in just a few moments look at that. But in John 15, verses 1 through 8, listen to these words as I read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And indeed, these are the words of Jesus. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. Now you see that word unless? I'm going to read a little bit more, but you see that word unless? Remember where we were in Psalms? Unless the Lord. Neither can you unless you remain in me. I just wanted us to see that one more time. If, let's see, where am I? Verse 5, thank you. Yep, now there I see it. I am the vine, you are the branches, and the one who remains in me, and I in him, produces much fruit. Because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. You see, this passage reminds us that we are completely dependent upon Jesus. We are completely dependent upon the fact that we need to remain in the vine. And of course, we find so many words and names for Jesus, so many ways that Jesus is described. He is the Word. He is the way. He is the truth. He is life. He is everything to us. And here it says he is the vine. And if we, here's an important thought. If we abandon our position in him and seek to do life on our own, especially the spiritual life, but really all of life, if we abandon our position in him and no longer remain in him, attached to the vine, and try to live life on our own, we will be without life. We will be without hope. We will be without help. And we will be without fruit. Do you understand, church and individuals who make up the church, that without remaining in the vine, we are without life, without hope, without help, and indeed without fruit? We need to rely upon the Lord. And I want to illustrate that by reading a story from Mark chapter 9. I think this is a very important story for us. Mark chapter 9, this is a story about one who was possessed by a demon, a small son who was possessed by a demon. We're going to read verses 14 through 29. So you'll have to look to your Bibles or your devices to follow along on that. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 14. One more page for me. You've got a little more time to find it. And there it says, beginning in verse 14, And when they came to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes disputing with them. And when the whole crowd saw him, they were amazed and ran to greet him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing with them about?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. Whenever it seizes him, he throws him down and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't." And he replied to them, "You unbelieving generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me." So they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening to him?" Jesus asked his father. "From childhood," he said. "And many times it has thrown him into fire or water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, everything is possible for the one who believes." And immediately the father of the boy cried out, "I do believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd was quickly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Then it came out, shrieking and throwing him into terrible convulsions. The boy became like a corpse, so that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus, taking him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. And after he had gone into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he told them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer." In some translations it says, "but by prayer and fasting." And as we think about these things today, the Lord Jesus said these words to his disciples as much as anyone else, as much as for us. But we need to know this from this story. There's a lot here. It could be another couple, three messages probably. But as I think through this today, I look at the reality that there was an absolute necessity to be connected to the vine, an absolute necessity to be connected to Jesus, the absolute necessity to have been spending time with God in prayer, seeking the face and the will and the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you to consider, perhaps with me, that even in this particular story, it may not have been that the demon itself was so much more difficult than any other demon, because every demon was of the devil, was of Satan. I'm not saying it wasn't. Some commentaries will give you some information that suggests that this was perhaps a little bit more difficult of a demon than the disciples had faced before. But I want us to consider this for just a minute. Is any demon easy if you don't pray? If you're not in tune with Jesus? If you're not depending on and being fully reliant upon his power? Can you do anything without Jesus? I'm going to knock this thing over. Can you do anything without Jesus today? My friends, I'm not so sure that this was a more difficult demon. Although it demonstrated some pretty crazy things and brought him to terrible convulsions and ultimately made him look like people have looked that I've seen after they've had a terrible epileptic seizure, a grand mal seizure. They look dead. They're lifeless. They don't move. And they need some time to recover. But that's not what we see described here. We see described that this was a demon and it accomplished this in the life of this boy. And yet when Jesus was present and drove him out, he left the boy lifeless until Jesus reached down and took his hand. You see, the reality is this. There is nothing that the disciples could do. And you look at what Jesus said, I think, to his disciples. After they'd been arguing, he said in verse 19, "You unbelieving generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me." I think he was speaking directly to his disciples. I think those words were to his disciples. And I just want us to consider that, because it was his disciples that he had sent out to do this work, to cast out demons, to bring healing, and all of that. And they had been successful. And yet when this one had been brought to him, perhaps they had become full of themselves. And they had decided that because they had received these gifts and this authority from the Lord Jesus Christ, they could just go out and do it without spending any time in prayer. And you see, I think that's the greater lesson of this story. I think that's the biggest lesson of this story, that they needed to be reminded that there was nothing that they would ever do as they went about doing the work that God and that Christ sent them out to do, nothing that they would ever do that did not need to be bathed in prayer, that did not need to be filled with and full of this time in prayer. And I want us to remember that. He told them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer. Well, whether it was a special kind or whether it was a regular kind of demon, there's nothing you or I or the disciples or anyone can do that demonstrates the power of God unless we have spent time with him, unless we have been in prayer and been seeking the face of the Lord. Otherwise, we'll be without life, without hope, without help, and without fruit. You see, in James 5, again, you'll have to look in your Bibles for this one. In James 5, we find these words about effective prayer. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. If you want to hear it from King James, I'll say it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer, when we spend time with God and seek the face of God, is very powerful and effective. Friends, today, we need to always remember that. Part of the devotion of the church needs to go beyond the fellowship, beyond the eating of meals together, beyond even the study of God's word. But the study of God's word needs to drive us to prayer. And the study and the application of God's word needs to bring us to that place of prayer. As I grew up, and as many of you grew up, in the life of the church that you were a part of, and of course that was true here at North Addison Baptist Church as well, there would be, just because it was Wednesday, we'd gather at the church at either 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever time was set for a time of prayer. It was prayer meeting time. That has not been a part in the same way, let me just say, in the same way, of this church's life since before I came. Because as I became your pastor almost 10 years ago, what took place on Wednesday night was valuable. There was Awanas and there was youth group. And from time to time, there was an adult Bible study opportunity offered. But we didn't have an organized prayer meeting. Now, COVID even caused us to set some of that aside, which we haven't restored everything even then. One of the things that happened through COVID is that we purposefully and intentionally began to pray together on Wednesday nights and on Tuesdays at noon through the avenue of the Zoom app. It was a great opportunity and a great privilege for us to even have conversations with one another because we did our best to kind of honor some of the expectations that were around us and not come around and breathe on each other. But you know what? We've missed something, even with Zoom. Zoom has been good. Zoom has been a blessing. But we've missed something. And I want to invite Robert and Becky to come and share with us just briefly about a challenge that they have for our church. Robert told me about this yesterday. He didn't know what I was going to be preaching. But guess what? That's what I was preaching. I said, well, you know, if you're ready, let's do it now. And so let's hear from you.
Good morning. In firmly believing that this is God's will for us, the shepherds are wanting to encourage individual and corporate prayer groups to grow within our prayer lives. God's word talks about this a lot. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, which is our theme verse for our prayer, says, at times I will shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. But if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves in prayer, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done.
And Luke 18:1 says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Today, we've been challenged to pray. Robert and I will be starting a daytime prayer gathering probably on Wednesdays. We would love for you to join. Consider joining us. We're hoping for another fourth prayer group to begin through Zoom or in person. I think Pastor would really love for that to be in person. And would you consider being a leader of that group? And then as we read Revelation 8:1, can you imagine where your prayers go as you lift them up to God? Then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. Our God, our prayers are so important to God.
And God's word further says in Ephesians 3:20, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could think or imagine. And E.M. Bounds, that great writer about prayer who lived in the 1800s, said this about prayer: the only limits to prayer are the promises of God and his ability to fulfill them. Think about that. The only limits to prayer are the promises of God and his ability to fulfill them.
Thank you. We've heard God's word as we consider prayer. We've heard now this challenge that we've received from these good leaders in the life of our church. Perhaps there is a step that you need to take, to step up and to become a part of a prayer group or to become a leader of a new prayer group. If that's true in your heart and in your life today, then I pray that you will speak to someone from among the shepherds, share it, and we will enable you with every strength that we have and help you to make that happen in your life. Again, you heard this challenge. There are new opportunities that are going to be set on the table for you and in front of you. And we pray and trust that you will participate and become involved in that on a very important level. The Word of God challenges us to be connected to Him. And we are connected to Him through spending time in prayer and in spending time in His Word and in spending time with one another. That sounds like a prayer meeting to me. And I want to encourage you, become a part of that time of praying and seeking the face of God and bathing the work of North Addison Baptist Church in prayer, that we might see the fruit of His leadership and of His power and of His strength and His might among us, even yet again. We come to this time, and perhaps there's a decision and a commitment that you will want to make about prayer. Or perhaps there's a decision that you need to make regarding your relationship with Christ. Perhaps you've never put your faith and your trust in Jesus, and you need to just simply say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I know that I'm a sinner and that my sin has brought separation between me and you, and I don't like it. I want to be able to abide in that vine. I want to be connected to you. Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior, and I ask you to come into my life. I commit myself that I will live my life in such a way as to demonstrate your power and your work in me, and I will walk with you. If that's the desire of your heart today, I pray. I ask that you would just simply pray in that way. And then perhaps if you would, let somebody know. You can come and tell me as I stand here at the front or even after the service, or you can say it to the person that you came with today. I am putting my trust in Jesus, for I know that apart from Him, really, my life is going to be in vain. Maybe that's the desire of your heart today. Let Him have His way, and let Him do His work in you. Father, we come and we say thank you for these moments together. We thank you for your word and the privilege to open it up and allow it to speak to our hearts. We thank you for this challenge from your holy word that we would be your people who are called by your name and who are known by your name, O God, that we might humble themselves and pray and seek your face. That you might hear from heaven and forgive our sins and restore our land. O God, may we be restored according to your power and according to the reality that Christ is within me. For Lord, even as he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You also said, Lord Jesus, with God, all things are possible. Lord, we come to you. We yield ourselves. Have your way in us today in Jesus' name.